Kof Beis Elul, Sunday the 22nd of September, Rabbi Sholom Segel, Malchius. This week's Torahway has been sponsored Le'il Nishmas, Rabbi Yehuda Menachem, Ben Rav Aaron Yosef HaKohen, Zichron Levrocha, the late Mr. Alex Halberstadt, a much-loved participant and supporter on his fourth Yahrzeit.
Thank you, good morning.
Good morning.
Just over 80 years ago, I think it was Tofresh Sadivol, on Erev Tisha B'Av, my great-grandfather was sitting, presumably in Tel Aviv, in Eretz Yisrael, where he was a Rav there, and he was writing the Hakdama to his Sefer Avas Noach. The Sefer he wrote is Roshes Al HaTorah, and in this Hakdama, he writes that, as he's writing right now, on Erev Tisha B'Av, he says, the Arabs are rioting, as only Arabs know how to do in Yafo, I think celebrating some 100 days of liberation from something or other, and they're going around burning shops. And over the last few days, they've killed 50 innocent Yidden, just going about their lives. I mean, today we know this is, I mean, not nice to say, but child's play compared to what we've been witnessing over the last however many years. But he says, amongst the other things he writes there, something which struck him as being rather, sort of quite strikes you in the face, is the fact that where is this taking place? It's taking place in Yafo. Yafo is the more or less the location where the story of Yonah took place. And if you think about what took place in the story with Yonah, there Yonah was on the ship together with sailors, people from all sorts of other nations. And all of a sudden, there's a storm, and they can see that all the other ships are passing in tranquil waters, blue sky, and they can see it's just their ship, as if their ship has been seized by a whirlwind. And they realize, obviously, there's something deeper going on here, and they cast lots, and eventually they go and they look for Yonah, and Yonah's lying there, fast asleep on the lower deck. And when they wake him up, he says, yeah, it's because of me. If you want the storm to stop, you'll have to throw me overboard. They've already tried throwing other things overboard. Nothing's helped. So they say, we can't do that. He says, but that's the only way you're going to survive this storm. And there's back and forth. Eventually, they pick him up. Chazal tell us, they pick him up. And they just hold him overboard with his feet just dangling into the water. And the storm stops. They bring him back in, and the storm starts again. And they try all sorts of things, anything and everything, but to try and save the life of Yonah. He says, think about it today. I mean, this is, as I said, he's writing over 80 years ago. Today they wouldn't need a storm. They wouldn't need any excuse whatsoever. The first thing they'd throw overboard is the Jew. What's changed? And as I said, he's driving out a certain message there, which is much of what we're going to try and bring out today. But I'd like to bring it out in the following way. We know that, besides obviously Shofar, it's a Yom HaDin, but if Rosh Hashanah, if we had to really nail it down to one word, what is really the essence of Rosh Hashanah, is in one word, is Malchus. Is recognizing and declaring the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I was to ask you, what is in one word, what is the essence, what is the focal point of Yom Kippur, what would you say?
Kaporo,
Vidui, Teshuvah, whichever one you want. In other words, that's about the cleansing process, that's the confession, that's the Teshuvah. And therefore it's rather surprising that when we come to the end of Yom Kippur, what would you expect? Often we're coming right towards the end of an Elul, the gates are now closing. What would we do? One last, really, last blast of Teshuvah, of Vidui. But that's not what we do. What do? We go all the way back to where we started in Rosh Hashanah. Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Hashem Hu Elokim. It's Pesukim HaMalchus again. How did that come in at the end of Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah is a day of Malchus. True. But Yom Kippur is a day of Teshuvah. So surely the last moment should be one last expression of Teshuvah. But it's not. It's Pesukim HaMalchus. After Avinu Malkeinu, it's Shema Yisrael, it's Baruch Shem, Hashem Hu Elokim. How did that come in at the end of Yom Kippur? What is the source for Malchus? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah brings as a source for Malchus is the Pasuk Ani Hashem Elokeichem. At the end of the Parshas Emor, the Parsha there of Leket, Shikha, and Peor, the various things that you have to leave in the fields for the poor man, it finishes off, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God. And the next Pasuk begins, B'chedesh HaShivi is the seventh month, B'chol HaChedesh, in other words, is the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. So from the juxtaposition, obviously we're reading one Pasuk into the other, but from the juxtaposition, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Zu Malchus, when? B'chedesh HaShivi, on the first of the seventh month, that's when you've got the mitzvah to pronounce HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. So a number of years ago, when Rabbi Yeshua Hartman was speaking in Hargus, the Kodal Minyan, so before Shofar blowing, he raised the obvious question. We can see the juxtaposition, we know it's a drasha of Chazal, but what is Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Malchus, why are we taking that from the parsha of Leket, Shikha, and Peor? Yes, it's a drasha, but why is it rooted in that parsha? And he answered what he answered. But perhaps we could suggest the following idea. And that is that what makes Leket, Shikha, and Peor different to all other mitzvahs of Tzedakah is Tazev Eson. The Torah says, Tazev, you have to leave it. When it comes to all other acts of Tzedakah, it's up to me. It's in my hands. It's what we call Tevah Sanuah. I have the choice to whom I want to give it, how much I want to give, and so on and so forth. When it comes to Leket, Shikha, and Peor, it's not up to you. You're told just to simply leave it there. But Peor, I think, even more than anything else. Because Leket and Shikha, if you're really careful about it, maybe you won't end up with any Leket and Shikha. If you double-check yourself before you move on, so you don't forget anything, there won't be any Shikha. Leket, if you're really careful the way you carry it. But Peor, you're told, you've got no choice in the matter. Peor, don't touch. In the first instance, if you do cut it, yes, there's Mishnayos in Peor what to do. If you did cut it, you forgot to leave the Peor. But in the first instance, you're told, just leave it alone. Leave it. And who will take it? That's not your business. Tazov Osom, leave it. Why do I say this? Because the Torah refers to the mitzvah of Peor more than any other of the others. We find the pasuk which says, Lo sefa'er acharecho. Which means, do not take the pe'er, in English we'd probably translate the glory, after you. In other words, leave the pe'er. The pe'er apparently is the glory of the field. It's the pe'er of the field. In which way is it the pe'er of the field? What does that mean, it's the glory of the field? So where else do we find this term pe'er? Where do we find in Chazal, in fact a pasuk in Yechezkel, where do we find, it's tefillin. It says, pe'erecho chavish olecho. And in fact, it's more specifically, it's not just tefillin, it's the tefillah shel Rosh. Yechezkel's told, despite the fact that it's a day of mourning for him, pe'erecho chavish olecho, put on your tefillin, but put on your tefillah shel Rosh. That's pe'erecho, the pe'er. What's this about tefillin? Why is it called the pe'er? So we've got here, pe'er is called pe'er. We've got here, the tefillah shel Rosh is called the pe'er. What's the common denominator? So they say the Vilna Gaon was once staying at an inn, and one morning he was davening. All of a sudden, he heard cries for help, so he opens his door, and he sees the innkeeper's being attacked. All of a sudden, the attacker looks up, sees the Vilna Gaon, and legs it. He runs. So the innkeeper, forever grateful to the Vilna Gaon, he says to him, but what did you do? So he said, very simple. So the pasuk in last week said, Parshas Kisavo, and the peoples of the land will see, the nations will see that the name of Hashem is declared upon you. And they will be in awe of you, they will be in trepidation. And the Gemara says in Brochus, Rabbi Yezar Goldolomer, Zutfilin Shalosh, this is the Tfilah Shalosh. When they see the Tfilah Shebarosh, right, Zutfilah Shebarosh, then they will be in awe of you. So the innkeeper said, but I don't understand. But I was also wearing tefillin. My tefillah shorosh was also there for him to see. So the Gaon said, that I quoted it wrong the first time, that's why we corrected it. He said, you didn't listen to the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara didn't say, zu tefillah shel rosh. It didn't say, zu tefillin she'al rosh. It says, zu tefillah she'bor rosh. It's the tefillah which are in the head. Meaning to say that they're not going to be scared of some black boxes, whether it's got something in it, whether it doesn't, that they're not going to be scared off by that. What's going to scare them off is Zu Tfilo She Boresh. If you've internalized the message of the Tfilin, it's inside your head. You are embodying that message of the Tfilo She Boresh, that's going to scare them off. So what is the message of the Tfilo She Boresh? So the Rashba in that Gemara in Brachas. So the Gemara in Brachas is actually talking about the Tfilin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kiviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has Tfilin. And the Gemara there is discussing, we have four parashiyos in our tefillin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyochel has also got four parashiyos in his tefillin. Our parashiyos are singing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malchiyos, Shema Yisrael, Kadesh, etc. And those of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are really singing the praises of Klal Yisrael, Goyech, Oboretz, etc. And the Gemara, after enumerating the four parashiyos which you find in the four compartments of the Shel Rosh, it finishes off with one statement, three words. V'chulhu Kisive Be'edroi. And all of those parashiyos, the four parashiyos in the Tefillah Shel Rosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kviyochel, they're written on the Shalyad. They're also written on the Shalyad, like with us, on one piece, but they're all written on the Shalyad. So the Rashba says, perhaps in a more, slightly deeper take on this Gemara, he says, the Gemara is telling us something very, very fundamental here. And that is that the Tefillah Shel Yad has one compartment. Because that is the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is only one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Echad. And therefore the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is represented in the one compartment of the Shel Yad. But the problem is that the Shel Yad, we know when we put on the Shel Yad, we cover it. The Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, generally speaking, is hidden. Yes, we got a glimpse at Kriyas Yamsuf, Zekeli Vandeyu, they saw the Yad HaGadolah, but B'derech Kalal, the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concealed. So how are we supposed to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world? The answer is through the Tefillah Shel Rosh. Says the Rashba, the Tefillah Shel Rosh is made up of four compartments. That's the four directions of the world. North, east, west, south, whichever direction, wherever you look in the world. From the biggest things, if you look through the telescopes, you look at the mighty galaxies out there, to the tiniest cells which you see through the microscope. Everything, all of that and everything in between, v'chulu kisivi be'edroi. When you look at the Shel Rosh, when you look at everything in this universe and beyond, whichever direction you take it, v'chulu kisivi be'edroi, you see the Yad Hashem, you see that all comes from the hidden hand of Hashem. If you want to put it in a slightly different way, the Ma'ariach brings, I think it's Likutei Ma'ariach, I think that's where I saw it, he says, the Tefillah Shel Rosh has four compartments, corresponding to the four senses we have in the head. The sight, whether it's the eyes, whether it's the smell, whether it's the taste, whether it's the power of hearing. But the one thing you don't have is the ability to point and say, Zeh Keli Vandeyu. That's hidden. You can sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. You see things in this world. You smell things in this world. You hear things. You taste things. And it's also Geshmak. Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem. The one thing, generally speaking, we don't have the ability to do is say, there's Hashem. We see Him openly like they saw at Kriyas Yamsuf. But we can sense our HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. The hidden hand of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding everything. We sense that through everything we see in this world. Whichever direction, using whichever sense we have in our head, through that, B'churu Kisivu Be'edroi, we can see that all comes from the Yad of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rashba, that's why, as long as we're putting on both tefillin, obviously there are cases where a person only puts on one or the other. They've only got one, and various other instances. But where a person's going to be putting on both, the order is, you put on the Shel Yad, then the Shel Rosh, and when you take them off, you take off the Shel Rosh, and then the Shel Yad. What that means to say is, despite the fact that if a person, when a person comes into shul in the morning, so a person takes out their talis, you first put on the talis. Then you take out the tefillin, you put on the tefillin. What happens if, by mistake, you take out the tefillin first? So the halacha is, Eim Avinin Ala Mitzvahs. But hold on a second, you put on the talis first. Eim Avinin Ala Mitzvahs. So what happens if I take out, by mistake, I take out the tefillah Shel Rosh before the tefillah Shel Yad? Eim Avinin Ala Mitzvahs? No. There the Torah says, Ukshartum Lo Yisal Yodecha, then Vohoyud Tetzof Es Beininecha. The Gemara says not to pass, the Gemara in Yuma says not to pass over the Tefillah Shel Yad to go to the Shel Rosh. Different Peshatim in the Gemara. There's quite a bit of discussion on that. There's a Rambam about it. I think possibly different days about that.
It's two different mitzvahs.
And Achanami, exactly. But that's the chiddush of the pasuk, and that's what we're about to explain why now. You can't put on the tefillah shel rosh without the tefillah shel yad. Now, why is that? The reason is because, even though you might be in an ala mitzvahs, because you can't have a shel rosh without the shel yad, says the Rashba. Nothing in this world can exist without the yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, before putting on the tefillah shel rosh, which expresses everything in this world, the sun, the moon, the galaxies, everything which exists in this world, there has to be the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in place. If you don't have the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is nothing. So you put on the Tefillah Shel Yad, then you put on the Shel Rosh, and when you take them off, once again, you take off the Shel Rosh first, and then the Tefillah Shel Yad. Says the Rashba, never to be a moment with the Shel Rosh without the Shel Yad. Because nothing can exist without that hidden hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We may not see it, but we know it's there. Everything in this world cries out that there is a creator. And that's essentially, as I said, that Gemara in Yuma, I think Rashi writes as Zaloshen to call Poga B'Sheliyad Tzachil or something like that. In other words, you can't get, I'm not saying this is Posh Pshat and Rashi, but you can't get to anything in this world without the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it's impossible to pass over the Sheliyad to get to the Shel Rosh first. You first have to have the Sheliyad. When you've got the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everything can exist in this world. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing, but nothing can exist in this world. That is the Pe'er. The Tefillah Shel Rosh is the Pe'er. Because it's the lens through which we can identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you identify a human being?
What would you do if you had no arms?
That's why I said before, if a person is putting on both. If a person cannot put on both, then okay, this is all very nice in theory, but...
He may put on the Shel Rosh.
Correct. And if he's only got one tefillah, if he's only got the tefillah shel rosh. Yeah, correct. How do you identify a person? When you see somebody, how do you know who he is? By his hands? By his feet? By his body? No, it's by his head. The face. That's what sets a person, makes people... I mean, obviously we may be made up at the form of each person, may be different, but it's through the head. And in fact, Atz Kedei Kach, the Gemara says in Nidah, that if you see, I mean, so obviously it's a mutation of quite a large mutation here, you've got somebody who's half animal, half human. So is he a human being, or is he an animal? So the Gemara says, it depends, it goes by the head. If Gufay Tayish, the solution of the Gemara, Nidl Chaf Gimel, if Gufay Tayish, if the body is a goat, but the head is that of a human being, he's a human being. If the body is that of a human being and the head is that of a goat, he's a goat. In other words, a human being is defined by the Rosh. That's what it means that the Tefillah Shel Rosh is the Pe'er. Because through the Tefillah Shel Rosh, looking at the world around us, through that we've got a lens through which we can identify the master of creation, the master of this world, the creator of everything in this world. That's the Pe'er, it's the lens through which we can identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, perhaps, that's why the Pe'er is called the Pe'er of the field. A person had a very successful year. The produce, the wheat, the barley, whatever it was that grew in the field, Baruch Hashem, was a Gevaldige year. So a person may well sit back and think, I put in a lot of effort this year, maybe more effort than usual. It pays off. When you leave the Pe'er, suddenly for a moment you relinquish all control. It's not like anything else. When it comes to Maisa, I'll decide where it goes. I can decide if I want to give it to this lady or that lady. To Roma, I'll decide which Kohen it's going to go to. When it comes to even Leket and Shikha already, you don't have that control. But as we said before, Pe'er is the ultimate expression. It's there, still standing grain. And we say, don't touch that. So who's going to decide where that goes? That's not your business. Tazoy Vosom, you leave it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will apportion it. Yeah, it looked like the Aniyim will come and fight it out, but they're my children. As Rashi tells us, the Aniyim, the Levi, and the various people who come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Be Misameach Sheli, the Amonot, the Ger, the Yosem, these are my children. I will sort them out. You relinquish all control. And when a person looks at the Pe'er, that reminds him, you know what? In truth, why do I have to leave that? The answer is, because really, everything is being given to me from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, I do my ishtandas, but ultimately, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this message we've just read, really, is over the last couple of parashiyas. Towards the end of Parashas Kisetzeh, we have the parasha of false weights. It says a person has to make sure their weights in business are accurate, a person's honest in business. And then what comes after that is the parasha of Amodik. So Rashi says, what's the connection? What does Rashi say? Because if you use false weights in business, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why Amalek comes and attacks. What's the connection? Based on what we've said, we can understand. Because when a person uses false weights in business, it's an expression of Kochi Veitzem Yodzi. A person who truly believes that his parnassah is fixed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide exactly how much he's going to earn this year. He doesn't have to go down the route of using false weights. He's not going to earn anything more anyway. So what was the point? Elamai, he believes he's got some control over how much he's going to earn that year. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's your belief, Kochi Veitzem Yodzi, I'll send along Amalek. Amalek are the propagators of that belief. There is no God. We have control. It's Teva. And let's see what happens when Amalek comes along. So what happens? You fight against Amalek, says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the Chiyod of Shel, Moshe, are the hands of Moshe, is that deciding the outcome of war? When Moshe's hands are up, Klal Yisrael are on top. When his hands are down, Klal Yisrael are the underdog. What's going on? It's to do with the, there's some Kayach in the hands of Moshe, says the Mishnah, no. When his hands are up, that means that Klal Yisrael are Meshabdin Livom Laviyam Shabbat Shomayim. They understand that we're not going to overcome Amalek with our prowess, with our artillery, with our ammunition. They're stronger than us. Physically, the Yodayim of Esav are stronger. So how are we going to overcome them? The answer is, Hashem Ishmelchom. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's fighting the battle, then you'll overcome them. But when his hands are down and we believe Kochi Veitzem Yodzi, we'll win this battle ourselves, suddenly we seem to be edging ahead, so suddenly, Kochi Veitzem Yodzi, his hands go down, and all of a sudden the scales are tipped in the opposite direction, and our Amalek are now, once again, going on top. And that's the message. You think you've been successful in a business because of Kochi Veitzem Yodzi, Amalek comes and teaches us the message the other way. If you want to succeed in anything in life, you've got to realize it's the Yad Hashem. Once we've come through that, we've gone through that learning experience, and we've defeated Amalek, we've wiped out the whole Zechar of Amalek, that whole, everything they stand for, that message of Kochi Veitzem Yodzi, we express it in the beginning of Parashas Ki Soveh. You come into the land of Eretz Yisrael, and you've got this Eretz Zovas Cholov Udvosh, such tremendous bracha. The first thing you do is take from the Reishis Periyo Adomo. Take your Bikurim, the first fruit, and bring it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say thank you to Hashem. Acknowledge to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you know what? This came from you. That's where you come. You tell the Kohen, I've come, Kivosi Ar-Oretz, I've come into the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me tremendous bracha. I want to acknowledge this Taka the Yad of Hashem. But the truth is it goes further than that. Because then it says, V'onisa V'omarto. This time you don't suffice with just V'omarto, you say it to the Kohen. This time V'onisa V'omarto, you want to announce it to the world. Like we say in Moedim, once a person begins to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, suddenly it just continues on and on. You suddenly realize how much we are indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say in Moedim, we say, Noiderecha, we will thank you Hashem. Unesapeh Tilosecha, suddenly we want to tell the whole world how kind HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to us. The Onisa V'amarta, this time you lift it up without the Kohen, you wave it yourself, the Onisa V'amarta, you go all the way back and you suddenly realize, Aram Yehovei Dovi, this goes all the way back. All the way back, how much we are indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the flow of the parashas. From the person who believes Kochi Veitzem Yodzi, Amalek comes and rectifies that Hashkofa, and then the person takes that message to heart, and he starts with a Bikurim, and from there it goes on. And from there we go through Parashas Ki Soveh, yesterday's Parasha, until we come to Verol Kolam Ha'aretz. Before we get to any Tefacha, as long as Klal Yisrael have taken the message to heart, and the peoples of the land will see, what will they see? Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Olecha, that the name of Hashem is upon you. Zut Tefillah Shebarosh, says the Gemara. It means that you, because you've internalized the message, they look at you, and they see on you, we're not fighting another nation. We're not fighting the Jews. We're not just fighting Israelis. Who are we fighting? We are fighting our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, for sure, even they are scared of that. V'yoru'u mimeko, because they see that everything, your outlook on life is, you're not coming with Kochi Veitzem Yodzi. Everything you see in this world, you've stamped with the Yad of Hashem. V'chulu k'sivei be'edroi, the outlook of a Yid is, no matter what it is in the world, yeah, we have to do our ishtalus. We have to, obviously we have to go out. We're not going to go out with nothing in hand. So we go out with the artillery, but we believe, V'chulu k'sivei be'edroi, we are just nothing more than puppets in the hand of Hashem. Hashem will fight the battle. When they see that, v'yoru'u mimeko. So the Gaon said to the innkeeper, he said, if you've got black boxes, they're not scared of black boxes. They're not scared of you as an individual. So of course he's going to attack you. But when he saw me, what did he see in me? I've internalized the message of the Tefillin. When he saw me, he didn't see another human being. He saw Yad Hashem. So for sure, v'yoru'u mimeko. And that's exactly the same message is with Yonah. We asked at the beginning, we said, what changed between Yonah and what's going on today? Yonah, the nations of the world, they wouldn't touch Yonah. Today, the first thing the Arabs would do is throw us overboard. So what's changed? The answer is, they asked Yonah. But let me just proceed with the following. You know, the Chofetz Chaim's Yahrzeit is in a couple of days. It's in Darchei Musar, Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, he says that a number of years ago, there was a hotshot Israeli politician who was speaking in America. And he said over there, people think that the Jewish people, we're something special. He said, we're not. We're another nation. So the 71 nations, we know what the Briskarov said, once they declared their own independence. He said, tucker that. He said, oh well, now there's 71 nations. So Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, he said, let me tell you something. I mean, he didn't say it, he said it sort of in response, presumably years later. He said, you should know when the Chofetz Chaim was Niftah, so Rabbi Yeruchim, Mashkiach on there, he gave a 3-hour hesped. And in that hesped he said, you should know, that the only reason that Darwin could postulate his theory is because he never ever came face to face with the Chofetz Chaim. If he'd once in his life, just once in his life, he'd seen the face of the Chofetz Chaim, such kedusha, such tzidkus, such a human being, he would have scrapped his theory straight away. He would have realized it's an impossibility to get a Chofetz Chaim from, I mean, lahavdil elef havdolos, and far more, a monkey. So Rabbi Yaakov Naiman said, Nebuch, this Israeli politician, didn't have the zechus of being brought up in the surroundings of people like the Briskarov, Rav Shach, and people like this, the Chazon Ish. If he would have once in his life, had contact with them, he would have realized that we are something special. We're not just another nation. Rav Shimshon Pinkas describes us as a mirror. We're here to mirror. We can mirror the nations of the world if we want. If we want to mirror the British, we'll be more British than anyone else. But we're really here to mirror the yards of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, to send that message forth to the world that Chuluk Tzivi Be'edroi, everything in this world, is really the yard of Hashem. And that's the difference between Yonah and what's going on in the world today. When they came to Yonah, they asked him, who are you? We've never seen anything like it. You're clearly not just another human being, another nation. Who are you? He said, Ivri Anochi. He said, I'm an Ivri. Meaning to say that I'm the son, many generations down, from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the first Ivri. When the whole world just kept going like blind, you know, blind sheep following one another. Yeah, there must be, they believed in all sorts of things. Avraham Avinu asked the questions. He said, a world with such order could not have come about just through some sort of big bang or some Avodah Zarah. It must have come about, there must be a creator. He asked the questions and he came to the conclusion. He looked at the world. He didn't see the Yad Hashem openly. But from looking at the Shel Rosh, looking at everything in this creation, he saw Kulu Kesiva Be'edroi, this is the Yad of Hashem. That's an Ivri. When they looked at Yonah, they saw an Ivri. They didn't see another human being. They didn't see a Jew. They saw Yad Hashem. For Yonah of America, they said, we can't throw you overboard. They went all of him. To throw you overboard, we can't. They didn't know what they were seeing necessarily, but they saw something out of this world. V'yoru u'mimeko. With no choice, in the end, they listened to him and they threw him overboard. Whereas today, Nebuch, as we said, so many Yidden haven't had that zechus to, as Rabbi Yaakov Naiman said, as Rabbi Ruchim said, to be in contact, to understand how special the Yidden are. And because, yes, we're not quite on the Madrego of Yonah and people like that, we do have a certain feeling of Kochi v'etzim yodi, therefore they don't see it in us. Ivri Anochi, but they don't see it in that way. But ultimately, this is the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, is it's the Rosh Hashanah. It's the time we come back to the beginning, to the Rosh Hashanah, at the beginning of the year, the Rosh, as we said, the Rosh is the ability, like the Peor, which is at one end of the field, it's like the end of the field, the head of the field, like the Tfilo Shel Rosh. It's our ability to look at the past year, look at the year to come, and to realize that everything, all our success, be it Be'ezus Hashem in Gezunt, in terms of success in Parnosa and everything else, it's all totally on the Yad of Hashem. From that we go, once we come to that Psukim Amalchias, acknowledging that, then we go from there, we go into the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. We've already passed through a whole week. And already we've journeyed a little bit away from the Rosh Hashanah. In other words, the Rosh at that time, everyone knows it's the Yad Hashem. When maybe the Eiffel Tower was first constructed, people probably knew who was the engineer of the architect, whatever it was for the Eiffel Tower. Now, no one knows. So to the beginning, maybe there's some new does, but okay. But Okay, I've heard this one before, yeah. There probably was a Mr. Eiffel somewhere there, yeah. Take some other building then, okay? So the point is, when you come back to the beginning, to the Rosh Hashanah, yeah, of course. You see who the architect, the master of the world is. But once you've already journeyed on a week, we've gone through a whole unit of time, suddenly we've been clouded over. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he cleans us up on Yom Kippur. He cleans up our vision. And all of a sudden we come to the end of Yom Kippur with our vision clear to all. And once again, even as we moved on from Rosh Hashanah, we cry out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Baruch Shem, that we recognize you are everything in this world. And we finish with Hashem Hu Elokim, which as Rav Shimshon Pinkas says, yes, we're saying Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times as HaKadosh Baruch Hu ascends through the 7 Rukiyim. We know as the year goes on, we're going to be distancing more and more from that Rosh Hashanah, that time when we see Yad Hashem so clearly. We ask of you, Hashem, although in a geographical sense, maybe in a time sense, we're going to be distanced from you, we ask of you, Hashem, to keep this Devekus, to keep this closeness throughout the year, that we can see your closeness, see the Yad Hashem throughout the year, and Bezaz Hashem through that, the nations won't attack us, and through that, Bezaz Hashem will merit only Gesund and all Kol Midi Demeter.